Welcome, friends. It's time to get your cacao ready and settle in as we join for another episode of Megan Hopper Presents The Cacao Crowd, where we'll connect to heal, empower, and learn to love ourselves a little more each day. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. Or if it's your first time, thank you for finding us. And welcome. And I hope you learn lots of things and feel free to reach out because I am a friendly person and won't bite if there's something that you specifically want to learn about. So let me know those things. Yeah. Today is another empath episode, but this one is geared more toward recognizing what's been going on your whole life, normalizing it, giving you some tools to work with the other empaths in your life, or maybe your own inner child to help heal some of those traumas if you are an empath and didn't necessarily know how to deal with that growing up. So to help us out today and to give us some more insight on all of these empathic things, I have my friend Dorian WK, who is joining us virtually. So Dorian, there you are.
Yo,
what's up? Hi, Dorian.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be, I'm going to say, an interesting ride of an episode. Because we're still in the intro and already laughing. Yep. So, you know, if you guys need a laugh, this is probably a good episode to watch for that anyway. Dorian, we always jump in with cacao first on these episodes. And since you are part of the cacao family, I know you have some with you. So why don't you tell us what's in your cacao today?
Oh, I'm pretty simple over here. I just have cacao with some honey and some almond milk. That's how I roll.
Nice. Raw honey?
Local honey. Local honey. It's local. It's from Colorado, and I'm in Colorado, so I got that going for me.
Good. Good. So at least it's all the local allergens that are being filtered out through your honey. Nice. So in studio, I always have cacao and standard Keys cacao, filtered water, some maple syrup. And the kind of like special ingredient to highlight today is a tincture of reishi mushroom. So reishi mushrooms kind of look like that little half circle coming out of a log. They're usually a little bit reddish brown in color, often called the plant of immortality because they are just that potent and powerful. They'll boost the immune system, they increase mental wellness, decrease fatigue, support the gut, improve the health and functioning of pretty much all of your organs. So there's really no downfall to reishi. It's a powerhouse. And you know, if you don't like the taste of mushroom, you can always get a tincture. That's, like I said, that's what's in here. There's another one that I'll use that has like a 14 different mushroom blend, but it's got a little bit of a savory taste. So I use it for making broths for ramen and stuff. So yeah, get your mushrooms. But let's do a little blessing, a little ceremony for our cacao. I like to close my eyes and hold it in front of my heart because it is a heart-based medicine. So giving it an inhale first, exhaling everything that came before this moment today. You don't need it anymore. Let it go. Just be here. Be present. And calling in, thanking all of our guides and guardians, all of the plant, animal, and nature spirits, Mama Cacao, all of our ancestors and relatives, and friends and family, seen and unseen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Giving your cacao a stir if you need to. Taking a sip. Feeling Feeling it going over the back of your tongue to your throat, down to your heart, to your solar plexus and sacral, down to your root and connecting you back to the earth. Feeling that earth below you, that stable surface, ready to just take in whatever you're ready to let go of and to give you back all of that nourishment like it does with all the plants. Taking another sip. This time feeling it going upward from your throat to your third eye or brow center. Up to the crown and out the top of your head, connecting you to everything above. And really feeling that you're part of this whole ecosystem, that you have all of this support around you, that you are not alone. Thinking about the earth and how much that the earth takes in and transforms and transmutes for us. Taking in all of that congestion, chemicals, the acid rain, everything else that falls into the earth, and it filters it, giving us back fresh, clean drinking water. It does the same with your energy. Anytime that you're mad, you're sad, there's something not quite balanced, go out and put your feet or your hands on the earth. Let it transmute it for you. And take another big inhale. Exhaling, releasing anything that's left that doesn't serve you in this moment. And I'm going to continue to sip my cacao throughout the rest of the episode because I don't want to choke on it. But, you know, if you prefer to chug things, that's also okay. And getting into our fun fact, which kind of works really well that we're drinking cacao and I have a clear glass today that you can see it's brown. So it looks like chocolate milk because our fun fact is about chocolate milk. But again, I've mentioned this before and I will mention it now since it's kind of like in the ether of thoughts that are coming up. Don't mix animal products with your cacao. It makes the energy and the fats all weird. So don't do that. but getting back to the fun fact. So when you were little, Dorian, did you think that brown cows made chocolate milk?
I don't think I was thinking that deeply into that subject, but
I just knew it was good.
I just knew it was delicious. I just wanted another glass. So that's how deep I went.
Fair enough. Well, I grew up in a town with more cows than people. So it was common that we would be driving past these fields of cows. And every time that we would see a brown cow, my mom would point and go, "That's where chocolate milk comes from." And I was like, "No, you're a liar." But there are still 7% of American adults that believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Now, 7% may seem low, but 7% of American adults comes out to about 16.4 million American adults who think chocolate milk comes from brown cow.
That's a lot of people.
I'm guessing they also think Santa Claus is real. I mean, the spirit of Santa Claus exists everywhere. So yeah, you know, yay, holidays. But there is not a jolly fat man coming down my chimney who I'm going to let come down my chimney. If a jolly fat man comes down my chimney, there's going to be a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. As there should be.
And maybe a baseball bat, you know, but it's okay. But yeah, so 7% of American adults still believe chocolate milk comes from brown cows. So just to help out those 7% of American adults, those 16.4 million people, brown cows produce regular milk. Chocolate milk comes from cacao, from chocolate syrup, from something that's added to it. And now I feel like I've done my public service for the day.
Thanks for clearing that up. Look at you. doing the good work every day.
Well, I mean, 16.4 is a lot of 16.4 million with an M. Million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot.
Like, think about if it was 16.4 million people that you could give clean drinking water to. That would be a massive change.
That's true.
So I just did a service. Anyway. Okay. So growing up as an empath is not an easy thing, as both of us are aware of, and many of the people that we know and we work with regularly. Because most parents don't even know, I mean, for years, most parents didn't know empath was a thing. It's still coming out as a thing. I'm pretty sure it's not in the dictionary yet as a noun. But, you know, how do you know that you had an empathic childhood? Like, what do you look back on and go, oh, that was definitely a sign that I was an empath and I didn't realize it? So that people who are parents, who are teachers, who are role models now, are able to understand these kids better. And people, and understand other people, not necessarily just kids, because I mean, technically speaking, we're all still interacting with each other. So, you know, some signs that you had an empathic childhood, that you maybe still are an empath that hasn't accepted it, and, you know, things for other people to look out for.
Yeah. You know, looking back now, there are so many clues and moments where I'm like, oh, that's what was going on. But for a long time, until I was in my teens, until I was like 15, 16, I had no idea what was happening, until there was one evening where I was super kind of bugged out and not in a great place. And I was talking to my friend about it, who's super empathic and knew I was an empath, but hadn't quite broken the news to me yet. And I said something to her about it, and I was like, I'm freaking out and yada, yada, yada. And she's like, when was the last time you got a massage? And I was like, I don't know, like a month ago. She's like, yeah, people like us need a massage every week. And I was like, what did she just say? And so I got home that night and I called her. I was like, people like us? Like, what are these people like us that you're talking about? And when I look back now, you know, one of the biggest things I noticed in myself and also in young people I work with is one of the, and I also believe different empaths operate differently. We have different gifts, different sensitivities, different abilities. But a big one, at least for me and for a lot of empaths, is that you feel other people's feelings. And so if someone I'm talking to is sad, I'm going to feel their sadness. Or if they're angry, I'm going to feel their anger. Or more so, I'm just going to feel weird and be like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so,
what is happening? This isn't how I actually feel, but I feel this way.
It's so confusing.
This cognitive dissonance that's just pulling at you all the time. Yeah.
Exactly. And so what I noticed in myself is, and some of the best advice I ever got about being an empath was, if it touches stillness, it won't hit you so hard. But if I'm feeling your sadness and my sadness and it's touching my sadness, that's going to be super overwhelming. So what I noticed with me was, my emotions just kind of spiked higher than most people's and went lower than most people's. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that with a lot of young people where it's like, well, why are they so sensitive? It's because they've got their own things that they're dealing with, just like everyone else. We all have our own things that we're dealing with, which is more than enough for one person, by the way. But then you add in someone else's, or you add in the city that you're living in and you're feeling all of their emotions, or you add in the world or whatever is going on, and it's massive. And so then why is my kid, or why am I swinging so high and so low and so high and so low? Why can't you just be normal and just swing up a little bit like most people? And more importantly, swing down a little bit like most people. Why do you have to go so low? And so I noticed that looking back on myself, that was happening a lot with me. And I noticed that as well with a lot of young people, where it's like, why are things touching them so deeply? Because yeah, and it's magnified.
And kind of like you're saying, you know, a lot of times it's getting classified as being highly sensitive. And you're like, yeah, but it's not. It's just taking in everything from everyone and then just being in that overwhelm. Which coincidentally ties into a juxtaposed position about adrenal fatigue, because empaths also commonly experience adrenal fatigue since you mm-hmm. are always trying to survive. But a lot of the times too, that overwhelm, that other people's emotions, all of that coming in that you don't know what to do with, because as a human, we need to understand what's going on. We need to feel comfortable with it. We need a way to explain it. Otherwise, we just go, we manifest that into symptoms, into physical symptoms. So like when I was little, it was always a stomach ache. Or when I was really little, I would just pass out. I would be standing there and just... It was really good. I scared no one.
It's too true.
Or you, because of the overwhelm that you feel being around anyone, you just completely withdraw into your own space. Hide in closets.
because why would you want to be around people if every time you're around people it's sort of unbearable and confusing and unpredictable? And the challenges, and one of the ways it was framed to me at a certain point that really kind of switched it in my brain and let me see the ridiculousness of that, even though I'd been in that pattern for a long time, because it was just a functional thing. It was hard to be around people. And then I decided I didn't like people, because that's the natural next step. If it's hard to be around people, well, I don't like them. One of my teachers in our little community, there's a dog whisperer who's amazing. And when I walk with his dogs and he walks dogs around San Francisco, it's like, I've never seen dogs move with someone like him. And he loves dogs. And my teacher was talking to me and some other empaths, and we all feel people. So we had some issues around people. And he said, you know, Dave, the dog whisperer. And we're like, of course we know Dave. And he said, wouldn't it be weird if Dave hated dogs? Like, wouldn't it be weird if the dog whisperer didn't like being around dogs? And we're all like, yeah, that would not make sense. And he's like, do you see how weird it is? You don't like to be around people. Like, do you see that your gift is for people, but something happened, which is that it got really overwhelming. There are all the challenges. And now this thing that you're here to do, which is to work with people and be with people and be a gift to people, it got all twisted to the point where you don't even like them.
Right. It's like a person bit you and now you're having flashbacks every time.
Exactly. And so it got reversed in some way, because now I'm able to have a lot of joy when I'm around people, but I can look back and I hated it. I hated it. And that's a lot of times what happens, is because the empathy thing and the sensitivity is misunderstood. Right. It's not cultivated and developed in the way it should be. It's kind of shut down, and then it ends up manifesting in all these kind of weird ways that don't really make sense and that are hurting yourself and hurting other people, and everyone's confused. But there's a gift in there somewhere. There is, to be an empath is a gift. I had to kind of reframe that also and see, oh, this is a good thing. This isn't a curse. This isn't this terrible thing that's going to doom me.
It's a superpower.
It's a superpower. Yes.
Oh, I feel like there's a comic book coming out. Sorry. Okay. So from the perspective, because there's, from what I noticed, like a lot of the times now when you hear empath, it's talking about how to recognize yourself as an empath, how to exist as an empath, what you can do to help yourself interact with the world in a way that is the gift, in a way that is more joyful than anyone else could possibly consider, experience, believe, think about. What we don't talk about and is super important is how, we'll call them the muggles, the normies, you know, people who don't have that empathic side, how to interact with someone who is an empath, because, you know, everything is a balance. And it shouldn't just be the empath who needs to go, okay, I need 5 minutes to meditate before I go into this party because I don't want to just eat everyone else's crap. I want to be able to make their lives better and help their vibrations increase. Like, if you know that you have an empathic kid, or you know you have an empathic student, whatever it is, what are some ways that you can interact better with them where you'll both thrive?
It's a great question. And I'm going to, you know, I'll broaden the answer to say that this applies to anyone and any friendships, my answer, but particularly possibly to empaths, which is, I mean, one part of being an empath also is you have a really good intuition. And it's just that normally comes with the territory. And one thing I often say, because one of the communities, because I'm a martial artist, and so I spend a lot of time around really great martial artists who have been fighting for a really long time, black belts and masters. And there aren't a lot of situations they couldn't handle. But I often say the reason I enjoy being around them and hanging out with them and feel safe around them isn't because if it hit the fan, you know, they would know what to do. It's because if I felt uncomfortable in a situation and I voiced that and said, my intuition is saying we need to leave, or my intuition is saying I want to do something else, they wouldn't doubt it or hesitate or make my intuition wrong. And yes. I think that's, and so, yeah, their skills and their tools are really great, but, you know, I would feel safer being around someone who's never stepped foot in a martial arts studio, who will listen to my intuition and honor it, than some great fighter is going to get triggered and be like, you're afraid, you're wrong. And so I often tell that to my friends, like, and the young people I work with, that's like a high value thing for me, is that my intuition is real and the people I'm around are going to see my intuition as real and they're not going to make it wrong. And we can talk about it later and have a conversation and say, well, part of that was projection, because likely there is some stuff in there. But in that moment, my intuition is telling me something and we're going to listen to it and we're not going to debate it. Because oftentimes empaths, when they were little, by the way, they had that intuition and the world said, no, wrong, bad. Don't say that. You're going to upset someone or hurt someone's feelings or piss off that adult who we're friends with or whatever it is. And so it creates this loop of lack of trust. So I think one thing is just to really honor each other's intuition when you're around empaths particularly, but also generally. And then the other thing with parents is just, you know, and this is, again, true for everyone, is you've got to be able to express your feelings. And if you don't express your feelings and you're an empath, it's going to create all sorts of other complications. So any kid where they're not allowed to say how they feel and feel how they feel, that's going to create a bunch of challenges. Yeah, but like we talked about at the beginning. Yeah. And like, and like we said at the beginning, it's just going to be like, you know, on steroids with an empath, because, okay, I can't feel my sadness. Well, now every time I'm around someone sad, it's not just my sadness I can't feel, it's the sadness of 20 people. And because if I'm afraid of my own feelings, then I'm going to be afraid when I feel other people's feelings. And then I'm never going to be able to get to a place where I can say, for example, I'm choosing not to feel everyone's feelings. I'm going to observe them. But you're never going to be able to observe all the crazy that you're picking up on if you can't observe the crazy going on inside of yourself. So just, you know, to cultivate that ability to express yourself and say how you feel. And when you're angry, be angry. Scream into a pillow. Hit a pillow. I was going to say hit something, but hit a pillow. Not a person, exactly. But to really like let your feelings run through you.
Right.
Because then you're not afraid of the feelings. Right. And then when you're picking up on other people's feelings, it's not so scary and overwhelming, because it's like, oh, I can deal with my own. And I see that that's what I'm dealing with. So I think those two tools are really helpful for anyone, and specifically with empaths.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you're saying is super important in terms of like allowing people to express, because especially nowadays, like, you can't cry, that's weak. You can't yell, that's, you know, disrupting to someone else. You can't shake, there's got to be something wrong with you. You can't want to consistently move, we'll need to medicate that. But all of these are ways of dispelling energy. Burping, coughing, being flatulent, laughing, moving, all of these are ways that our body gets rid of that energy so that it doesn't get stuck, doesn't become a problem energetically, physically, mentally, emotionally, all of that. So yeah, exactly. Just normalizing expression.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be the new hashtag. Normalize expressing.
Definitely. Definitely. And to feel comfortable expressing yourself. And then when you're not afraid of your own expression, then you don't have to be afraid of someone else's expression.
Yeah.
I'm actually
going to call to action. I'm going to challenge everyone that is listening, that is watching, that is interacting with this podcast on whatever social media pleases you. Express yourself. Hashtag normalize expressing. And tag the cacao crowd too so that I can see it. But yeah, let's flood the interwebs with this.
We got it. Let's do it.
I like it. Awesome. Okay. And you've mentioned a few times, you know, you're working with youth. So talk to me quick about that work. What do you do?
I do a couple of things. The first thing I do is I go into schools and also on the weekends sometimes we'll lead workshops, but give presentations and lead workshops with young people about, there are a couple of things. I do a lot of stuff around personal safety, and that was kind of my way into working with youth. But even when I'm doing that, it's a lot about intuition and being able to connect to that part of yourself that knows what's going on and be able to separate that from all the voices in the boxes that say, well, if you go to this school, act like this. If you're in this family, act like this. The problem is when this goes directly against your intuition, that's when people get harmed. And then I also do social emotional work, and I can say the same thing. When this goes directly against your intuition and you don't listen to it, that's when your life's kind of a mess. And so I can work with young people on that and connecting them to their intuition and being able to find that authentic place and be able to kind of take the power away from these things, at least to see them more clearly so that you kind of have more direction and knowing. So I work with young people in that capacity. And then I also mentor and coach young people one-on-one. And it's a very similar thing. It's like, I don't have the answers, but I can ask you some questions. I can share with you some of my experiences. And most importantly, I can see, because I went through a lot as a young person and I met all these incredible mentors and they came into my life and held me when I was going crazy. I can see that what you're going through hasn't come to stay, it's come to pass. And it's come to be an experience. And I can separate you from your behavior, the same way I had to learn to separate myself from my behavior, and see that some of the crazy I'm doing, it's not because I'm bad, it's not because I'm wrong, it's just some way I'm protecting myself because of whatever reason. And so that's my primary work with young people, is I just want to be a space where you can be seen and listen and be supported, because one thing I often say is when you feel safe, everything changes. And that comes from the martial arts stuff. And the other thing is when you feel supported, everything changes.
Yes.
When you feel like you can't mess up without being caught, everything changes, because then you have the courage to mess up a lot, which is what you're supposed to do as a young person and as a person in general, is mess up a lot.
Right.
And if you're scared to go there, that's how we get people who don't know what they want. Because you only find out what you want. Yeah.
It goes back to the whole Abraham Hicks and learning about contrast in order to build what you do want in the end. If you never try, you don't know what you do and don't like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dorian. And, you know, moreover, thank you for reaching out to a group that very often gets overlooked when we're talking about healing work. We tend to think as healing work as what you come across when you're, you know, in your 30s or get to your midlife crisis, and you're trying to realize why your life just isn't as fulfilling as it needs to be, instead of being proactive and talking to people before they've totally lost that connection to their intuition, to themselves, to their trust, to their truth. So thank you.
Well, thank you for being, you know, for being you, for having me on, for chatting with me. I mean, I remember the first time we met in ceremony with Keith, and oh my God, I was, you know, It was like being back, you know, just I love those moments where you can't stop laughing and you're like, I don't know why I can't stop laughing.
Yep.
And it's been like that from the get-go. So yep. Either that's a yep. great indication or a terrible warning, and we shall see. But I think maybe both. It's all good. So I appreciate you, and thank you for letting me come and share a little bit about what I've been up to.
Thank you. And if people want to reach out to work with you or to set up a group workshop or something like that, what's the best ways to reach you?
The best way is my website, DorianWK, DorianWK.com. I got two last names from my parents. I got Viederholt and Kassar because they're cool like that. And unfortunately for this work, it's just too much. So it's DorianWK.com. And that is my contact information and some stuff about what I'm doing. And you can get in touch with me there and find some other links to my YouTube and social media and all of that. But that's awesome. The quickest, bestest way.
Also, that's in the show notes. So if anybody missed it, didn't write it down, just wants to easily copy and paste, it's down there. So feel free to contact Dorian, check him out as well. He's got plenty of other stuff to share. Plethora of information. But yeah, thank you again, Dorian, for taking the time to join live on the show.
Thank you.
And share
some
cacao. Bye
for now. I appreciate you. You're the best. Thank you, Megan.
we'll connect later and just keep laughing. It's cool.
It's inevitable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for joining again another week. If you enjoy what we're doing, like, comment, subscribe, share. If there's something that you want us to dig into, you want me to dig into, bring somebody on, definitely shoot me a message. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.